from the gospel, or the, yeah, I guess it was gospel to them, the good news of Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And this is what is recorded there. Hear the word of the Lord. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And as we move forward in our series, we know that this particular week we are talking about a prepared hope. A prepared hope. People spend most of their lives preparing for all kinds of things. When company is coming to our homes and we know about it, we prepare for them. When we know that eating out is not an option, we prepare our own food. When higher education or more education is needed to advance our career or our livelihood, we prepare to go to school or college or do whatever we need to do to make it happen. We prepare to enter the workforce. We prepare to go to work. We prepare to go home. We prepare for retirement. We prepare to die. It's as if we were born to live out the old scout motto, be prepared. Even the Apostle Peter reminded us about the importance of being prepared, especially about our hope, when he said, always be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you to explain the hope you have. We spend most of our lives preparing for things, but I'm not sure we're ready to defend our hope, let alone make a huge effort to possess a hope that has been prepared. And yet, if we're trying to be faithful to who God is in our lives, a prepared hope is the one thing we cannot live without. We're in this season called Advent as we prepare for Christmas, or at least the time of getting ready for it. Some of us prepare for it differently. Some of us begin getting our decorations up before Thanksgiving Day is barely over. Some of us take our time preparing for Christmas, writing out cards and making our gift list and checking them twice, doing what we can, when we can, however we can, to make sure we're fully prepared to ensure that nothing goes wrong on Christmas Day. We know what we're cooking for Christmas dinner. We know who's coming to dinner, what they like and don't like. We know that we're just getting started shopping. We either have done shopping or will be done by a certain day. Some of us have been preparing for this Christmas since last Christmas, going to sales and buying things that we thought we would need by the time Christmas got here. But it's only about the day, about the busyness of the season. The one thing that we may not have done adequately is to prepare for our hope. The thought of preparing our hope strikes some of us as an odd statement. Because hope is something that we have that speaks of a future that we desire. Sometimes what we desire and what God desires for us are two different things. And sometimes what we want and what God wants for us are the same things. They just seem so remote to us that the idea of having a prepared hope eludes us, making us ill-prepared for the hope we have in us. And our hope inside us is ill-prepared as well. The prophet Malachi brings a message to God's people in our scripture from today. It might be a strange announcement, somewhat of a pun, as we discussed in our Sunday school class. It's a pun in the sense that the name Malachi actually means my messenger. So in this case, the messenger is bringing a message that another messenger from God is coming to prepare the way before God's coming, but then asks the very probing question, who can endure the day of his coming? It's as if Malachi is saying that our hope is on the way, but that there's no way we can ever be prepared to meet our God. And the reasons, if they are not self-explanatory, are given to the people. Our God is like a refiner's fire, like bleach to make clothes white. It's impossible to stand before God with the filthy rags of our own self-righteousness. It's a reminder to us all that none of us are prepared to stand before the holiness of God as if we stand ready on our own to encounter God. But then just when we think that utter despair has captured us, Malachi declares that it is God who will purify. It is God who will remove the spiritual filth, the crud, and the other things that corrupt and defile God's priest and God's people. It is God who will prepare the people, making them an offering holy and acceptable to God, an offering not dependent upon human righteousness, but upon the righteousness of God, an offering prepared by God, for God. Of course, now all of this preparation by us and by God depends in large part on what we're hoping for. If our hopes are that we're prepared to receive our God, there are preparations that need to be made. On the other hand, if we find that neither we nor our hopes are prepared to receive our God when he comes, then there are some preparations that need to be made. And I know that sounds like double talk, but the preparations take place on two levels. On one level, the responsibility for us to have a prepared hope depends on us. It's what we do and what we can take responsibility for to get ready. On the other hand, the responsibility of having a prepared hope rests with God. You see, brothers and sisters, a prepared hope, requires that we are ready to receive the promise that God has made to us. It is God's invitation for us to live in ways that show that we are always ready to receive God whenever God comes. It means being ready on a spiritual level to encounter God whenever God comes. That's why the New Testament writers often warn that Christ will come like a thief in the night, at a time when people are least prepared to receive him. It means that we have to be on our spiritual P's and Q's, always ready to receive Christ when he comes. In some ways, we can use Rosa Parks as an example of what that means. Most people know of Rosa Parks as the Black woman who refused to go to the back of the bus and thus ignited a 1955 bus boycott in Montgomery, Alabama. A boycott that became a key victory in the civil rights movement. And while Rosa's decision appeared to be a spur of the moment act, it was anything but that. Rosa Parks had spent the previous 12 years helping lead the local NAACP chapter. The summer before, she had attended a 10-day training session in Tennessee at a labor and civil rights organizing school. And for some time, she had been studying other bus boycotts, and she had already been arrested in one in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 2 years early. Being prepared to receive the punishment that came from desiring freedom didn't happen overnight. She was prepared because she had prepared herself for what would happen. In the same way, if we are looking toward the hope of our God coming to dwell among us, we too must have a prepared hope. We are responsible for making sure we've done our due diligence to prepare for his coming. Through prayer and Bible study, we should be prepared and aware of our hope. Through service and acts of love, we should be displaying a living hope of his coming. Through faithfulness and forgiveness, there should be some indication that the hope for which we live is a prepared hope. It's something that we do as an active response to who God is in our lives. On the other hand, our prepared hope must face the reality that there's nothing that we can do to fully prepare for the coming of our God. We can't be righteous enough. We can't be holy enough. We can't be good enough. We can't be moral enough. All of our efforts to present ourselves holy enough to receive our God fall short. It's that word of God echoing in the back of our minds, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." There's a book by Brian Burrell called In Words We Live By. And Burrell tells the story of an armed robber named Dennis Lee Curtis, who was arrested in 1992 in Rapid City, South Dakota. Now, Dennis Lee apparently had scruples about his thievery. In his wallet, the police found a sheet of paper in which he had written his stealing code. He said, "I won't kill anyone unless I have to. I will take cash and food stamps, but no checks. I will only rob at night. I will not wear a mask. I will not rob mini marts or 7-Eleven stores. If I get chased by cops on foot, I will get away. If chased by vehicle, I will not put the lives of innocent civilians on the line. I will rob only 7 months out of the year. I will enjoy robbing from the rich to give to the poor." This thief had a sense of morality, but it was flawed. When he stood before the court, he was not judged by the standards he had set for himself, but by the higher law of the state. Likewise, when we stand before God, we will not be judged by the code of morality we have written for ourselves, but by God's perfect law. That's why an important part of our prepared hope is that part that depends on God's purification of us, and not the standards of self-approval that we set for ourselves. That, in fact, should be the essence of our prepared hope, that God has adequately prepared us to be presented holy and righteous at his coming, not because we are righteous, but because we are able to stand in the presence of God based on God's standard of righteousness, knowing that we have been purified, clean, and holy by God's standards of acceptance and approval, and not our own. It's in this ultimate refining process by God that establishes the standard of holiness as acceptable to God, but also fulfills our prepared hope that we can stand in the presence of God without fear of judgment. In this season in which Christ is the hope of the world, that we stand secure that his coming has anchored our prepared hope, purging us clean by the Holy One of God, who came to give us an everlasting hope and faith in the promises of God. And so in this season in which we once again await the arrival of the hope of the world, let us continue to live with a prepared hope. Let's continue our hearts prepared to receive the coming of Christ once again, never tiring of the story, never forgetting who and why he came, but reviving once again the hope that is alive in us at the thought of his coming. Let's continue with a prepared hope, knowing that we can never fully prepare ourselves for the coming of God, but allowing God to purge unrighteousness and self-righteousness from us so that we are acceptable according to God's standards of righteousness and not our own. Let's continue living with God's prepared hope, because it is our faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that has become the presence of God's love alive in us, preparing us for the hope that is to come. It is the grace of Jesus Christ and our love practiced and worked out in fear and trembling that prepares us for the hope of his coming. It's in this hope that we can be presented to God as acceptable offerings to our God in a way that fulfills our hope in God, and more importantly, God's hope in us. And that is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.